Now, this man on the left, just think for a minute what you would think of him if he lived in your neighborhood. When I first met the colonel and when he called me about coming to work for him, I thought, you know, he's a strange guy, you know, running around in a white suit and a goatee and a mustache. But more importantly, he was close to retirement age and lost the business of his restaurant because they built a highway around his store, and he was broke. I asked him, I said, Colonel, why'd you go in the chicken business? He said, well, John, he said, I could do that better than anybody else. And that's why I got into the fried chicken business. So being broke and only having Social Security, he got in his car with his wife and traveled across this country and stopped at a restaurant and said, let me come in and cook you some chicken. They liked it, then they signed up and be a franchise. And over a period of years, he franchised some 600 restaurants where he was an item on the menu. Now, this man is a great inspiration to all of us because at his age, he literally changed the eating habits of the world. They have 16,000 units. They do some $13 billion in sales, all from his idea, an idea that he developed in his filling station, a little restaurant, to use a pressure cooker, which had never been used before, in order to keep the juices in the chicken and the grease out. And he was the first one to season chicken, the leavened herbs and spices, to give it a flair, make it almost addictive. So his branding is what built Kentucky Fried Chicken. When I got involved and purchased the Colonel's business in March 6th of 1964, along with Jack Mansey, we looked at the business and said, what are our priorities? Well, my number one priority was use this man in the white suit and get him on television. The first show I got him on was What's My Line? They didn't know who he was. Then he was on I've Got a Secret and Missing Links. Ultimately, he got on Johnny Carson with an idea. We took $2 million in a big plastic container and the Colonel rolled it out on stage for Johnny Carson. So we took advantage of every opportunity to expose the Colonel. Parades all over, radio interviews, newspaper interviews. He could sit at the home office and talk across the United States, but every day he was busy promoting Kentucky Fried Chicken. And so with that promotion, he has become, I think, the number one personal brand in the world. So it is quite a story. After about 2 years of promoting the Colonel, we got all the franchisees to advertise together, the first co-op. We're the first ones to automate. We're the second one to go public. But I didn't know for sure if we were doing the right thing in building the company. So we all decided I ought to go to Harvard Business School and learn what I need to know about running a company. Before I got involved, I'd never read a balance sheet or a P&L. Never heard of an organizational chart. So I made an appointment, and I had lunch with, I think it was about 10 or 11 associate professors. And they had never heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken. The Colonel didn't trust those Yankees. He was more in the South and the Midwest. But after about 45 minutes, they asked me, well, how have your sales gone? And I said, well, we've gone from about $3 million to a little over $100 million this year. I thought everybody did that. I didn't know it was that big a thing. And they looked a little strange at each other. And one of them looked at me and said, what about your profits? Thinking, we must be in trouble. I wouldn't be there. And I said, well, we've gone from about $300,000 to a little over $10 million pre-tax. And the host just smiled and said, Mr. Brown, you just go on back and keep doing whatever you're doing. Don't let us confuse you. So that was the first time I realized that there are no geniuses. There are no experts. And we probably knew more about our business than anyone else. We went public a short time thereafter, and I think it was the fastest growing stock on the marketplace. We went from 15 to approximately 350. Now, this Colonel was quite a personality. You probably heard about some of his emotional demands he made on franchisees, that everything had to be perfect. He was a perfectionist. I'll tell you a cute story to show you about his independence. We had our third national convention in Miami, Florida. We had about 2,000 people there, and the Colonel wore a black suit. So we didn't know what to expect, and he got up and just berated the new ownership. We don't know what we're doing. They're out to take your money. And this is built up naturally because he was the creator. He had a hard time accepting that other people were managing his business. And after he got through, I wasn't sure what to say. Unfortunately, the word came to me. I said, my wife was crying, Colonel's wife was crying, everyone's future was being shattered there right on that night. And I just said, you know, the Colonel's an artist. Like all artists, he's a perfectionist. And he has painted a dream that all of us have an opportunity to be a part of. And I said, Colonel, we're going to do and have done everything we can to live up to your expectations. And I said, there's not a person in this room that can say we haven't lived up to every commitment you made to them before we got involved with the company. And he said, all right, raise your hand, raise your hand. Fortunately, not a hand went up. And I said, you know, Colonel, we haven't raised the price. We haven't had a single lawsuit. We gave your franchise family, now our franchise family, 10% of our stock. That's made them more profit than we'd made. So after that, you know, we finally were accepted because this was the Colonel's company. When he walked in, it was like a godlike figure, 2,000-3,000 franchisees, and he was their spokesman and their image, and there was great love and excitement in our company, much like the excitement that I saw here several years ago when I got introduced to Alltech and Pierce Lines. So after we went public, we were growing so fast, we acquired 600 stores back. When we went public, we had 3,500 franchise, only one company-owned store. So we had a philosophy of keep it simple, stupid, and it worked. And today, the concept of Kentucky Fried Chicken is basically the same concept that I sold in 1971. But the story of Kentucky Fried Chicken is a great example of what can happen through branding, what can happen through entrepreneurism, because, you know, we were willing to try any kind of approach, and we tried a little bit of everything until we cornered in on the concept that is known today. I remember just before I left office, I sent a young man named Lloyd Weston to Japan. I gave him $100,000 and some pots and pans and seasoning. I said, go over and build one. It works, build two. 8 years later, when I was governor, I was going to Japan on an economic visit. And he met me at the airport with a bus full of employees, and he'd built 800 stores. So, you know, when you think about your own business, you're thinking about growth, there's a lesson to be learned about what we did in Kentucky Fried Chicken, because we didn't know we knew how to do it until we did it.